faithful to the end. The scripture says in Ecclesiastes, I think chapter 7, verse 6, or 6, verse 7, one of the two. It says, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. And patience is better than pride. I believe that just about anybody can start well. It's never been about how you start. And anybody can be faithful in the beginning. But it is the end that matters. You get it?
Yes, sir.
My prayer for you is that you will be faithful till the end.
Amen.
You will not get unfaithful along the way. You know, when people get married, they promise each other faithfulness, you know. They say, I'll do. And I'll do. But our courts are filled with divorce appeals and divorce requests, all kinds of things. From the very people who said, I do. The day you gave your life to Jesus, you said, I do. The day we took you to the waters of baptism, you said, I do. I pray that the courts of heaven,
yes, sir,
will not be filled with divorce papers.
Amen.
From people that say to Jesus, I do. And today they don't. Mercy.
Mercy.
Last week, we saw a very important message that was titled, Those Who Become Disloyal. And I was telling you last week that people are not born disloyal.
Yes, sir.
And I don't think people intend to be disloyal,
yes, sir,
when they start anything.
Yes, sir.
But they become.
Uh-huh.
It's a process. And we saw last week the 8 steps that a person takes to become a disloyal person. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not a decision that is made over a meal. No, 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 no. These are steps, and we saw the 8 steps here last week. And I beg you, if you were not online, if you missed it, I'm begging you, make sure you go back and you listen to it.
Yes,
the 8 steps that takes a person to become, you know, steps take people everywhere. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
For you to become a millionaire, there are steps you have to take.
Yes,
for you to get a metric, there are steps you have to take. Actually, for you to even go to your toilet, you have to take steps. For you to go to your kitchen, there are steps to take. Anything you want to become or do in this life, you have to take steps. And so it is with disloyalty. For you to become a professional disloyal person, you gotta take some steps, brother. And most of the time, people take those steps unconsciously. They are not aware that they are actually taking steps that are going to turn them into a Judas. And we also saw last week that Jesus made a frightening statement. Jesus said, of all the sins that a man can commit, do you understand? He didn't say that, but what you see here is that he said, it could have been better if Judas was never born. You know, Jesus had a lot of sinners in his team. He had Mary Magdalene, who was a prostitute. And demon possession, she has 7 demons inside of her. So shows you people that are into prostitution, there are also a lot of demonic activity attached to it. He had Matthew, a tax collector who was a thief and a corrupt man. He had all kinds of people in his. Jesus never ever said it could have been better for Mary Magdalene not to be born because she was a prostitute. The only person in the history of mankind that we know, Jesus said it could have been better if that person was never born. It was Judas. Jesus said it was better if the mother of Judas had an abortion. No, he said it was better. And then he said it was better if she had a miscarriage. That's why I said last week, some of the miscarriages, don't cry too much, because you don't know what you are going to release into this world. Maybe you are going to be releasing the next Hitler or the next Osama bin Laden. I mean, mercy. I mean, imagine those type of people. So I know we don't like miscarriages, and I don't believe in them either. But when they do happen, just remember the words of Jesus to Judas Iscariot. It could have been better if this guy wasn't born. And Jesus said this about a man who started well and became disloyal. So I'm telling you, anything you want to commit, any sin you want to commit, please avoid disloyalty.
Yes, sir.
For Jesus to say that it could have been better if this guy was not born, it means Jesus knows something about disloyalty that maybe you and I do not know about. This morning, I want to continue my journey into training us to become faithful people.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I see you becoming faithful in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm so blessed by the words that Shepherd Blessing shared with us this morning on faithfulness regarding our giving. Because you see, faithfulness is actually a matter of the heart. Yeah. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. You can't claim faithfulness to God, and yet your pocket is not with God. That's not true. Praise God.
Amen.
This morning, we're talking about the second group of people that you should not join in the realm of faithfulness. Those who live. Last week, we saw those who become disloyal. This morning, let's look at, you see, when we say faithfulness, it means you remain where you were to the end. But there is a certain phenomenon that starts happening with people who become disloyal and unfaithful, is that they leave. And I want to talk specifically about that group this morning because I believe it's very necessary for you to know what happens when people leave and what happens before people leave. The first thing I want to mention to you is that there is an appointed place for each one of us. God has appointed a place for every single person, including God has appointed a place for you and me. In other words, you don't choose the place where you're going to be. God chooses it for you. And I want you, we're going to do a bit of reading this morning. I want you to come to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. The Bible says, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them." So God will appoint a place and he will plant the people, "that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more." And move no more. I will appoint a place for them. A place of their own. A place where they fit in. And so that they move no more. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, so you should understand, it's not like just some watery stuff. I mean, that is how it is. "Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them anymore when they stay in that place as previously." So we see that there is an appointed place appointed by God for his people. And talking about giving, as we saw this morning, if you come to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 13 to 14, the Bible says, "Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings just anywhere you like." 14 says, "You may do so only at the place the Lord will choose within one of the tribal territories." So even your giving, God does not expect you to be giving everywhere. He says, "Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings just anywhere you like." Oh, I don't like this anymore. I'm going here. Listen, be careful. Please tell your neighbor, be careful. Be very careful where you are sending your tithes. Be very careful, because you might think that you are giving, but heaven is not recording anything you are doing. Because according to heaven, you are supposed... I mean, imagine you have an account with FNB. But every month you go and call your money at Capitec, and I don't have a problem with Capitec, but you go and give money at Capitec, and you don't have an account there. But when it comes time to withdraw, you take your FNB card to go and withdraw. Be careful not to sacrifice at the wrong place. I'm trying to make you realize that there is actually a place God has appointed for you. Before we talk about living, you need to understand, because people live all the time. But what is the importance of teaching about not living or being careful before you leave? Because you see, you should know that God actually appoints places to people. And it's important for you to know that God is a place sensitive God. That's why he says to them, be careful to not just give your offering everywhere. Make sure you give it where I have appointed for you. In Matthew 28 verse 10, the Bible says, then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. To go to where?
Galilee.
To go to Galilee. There they will see me. Now, let's assume the disciples decide, no, we don't like Galilee. Let's go to another place. And you will not see him. Because he chooses the place. Are you listening to me? There you will see me. God is a place sensitive God. There are only certain places that God has assigned for you to see him. So don't be surprised when you go to certain churches and you are not hearing God. Don't be surprised when you go to certain places and you are not seeing God, because you see, he has appointed the place. Now, the same Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. This was not as a solution, it was a command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Now, he told them, go to Galilee. Another time he says, don't leave Jerusalem this time. The next thing that I'm about to do can only happen if you are here. And you know that the day of the Pentecost came, they needed to be in Jerusalem where he told them to be for them to receive the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many things people miss simply because they think all places are the same. I came to tell you, all places are not the same. They are not. It's a big mistake you will make. And can I suggest to you, all churches are not the same. You heard me well. If all churches were the same, then God would not need to bring new churches all the time. They are not. They are not. So this story that you guys have always to say, no, 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 God is the same, all churches are the same. But you don't say that when it comes to hospitals. And you don't say that when it comes to schools. And you don't say that when it comes to banks. But when it comes to churches, you say, no, all churches are the same. I can worship anywhere. It doesn't matter. How come you don't say that all the hospitals are the same? Why you don't say that all the doctors are the same? I agree, they are all doctors. They are all into medicine. Why don't you say that all the bankers are the same? I agree, they are all having banks. I came to tell you, all churches are not the same. Somebody must tell you that truth.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Now we can see therefore that God is a place sensitive God, and then God appoints places for people to stay in. Even the places where they should give their tithes and their offerings. That must tell you something. But above all of these things, you would be amazed and surprised that people still live. Why do people live? Let me give you 10 major reasons why people live. Number one, people leave because they were not really members in the first place. They were visitors. And you know, when I found this scripture, I didn't believe there is a scripture like that in the Bible. 1 John chapter 2 verse 9 in the New Living Translation. I didn't believe there is a verse like that in the Bible. It says, these people left our churches. It's in the Bible. I'm saying, I didn't believe there was a verse like this. When I saw it, I was like, wow! It says, these people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. It's a scripture. These people, this, he's talking about certain people, and you know those people. These people left our churches. They left some of our churches in San City, Mukwase, Patsima, everywhere where they are, our churches. They left. He says, but they never really belonged with us. But he's trying to tell the guys there, he's trying to tell the church, that these people actually, they never really belong to us. That is the reality. He says, otherwise, they would have stayed with us. Why am I saying this? And why is John saying this? Because some people that really belonged, stayed. Not everybody, you'll be surprised that not everybody leaves. It will surprise you that even though the prodigal son left, the elder son didn't leave. It will surprise you. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us. So everybody that has ever left ABC, I have found your verse today. I have found your verse. And it is dangerous when you find yourself in the Bible in a wrong verse. You should find yourself in nice verses, but this one, say you didn't belong in the first place. So you didn't actually leave. Because if you don't belong, how can you leave? You should answer that question. You shall never leave in the name of Jesus Christ. The second reason that people give, after that we are learning that God says there is a place appointed. All of those things, people still leave. Number two, they leave because they say God told them to leave. Yeah? There are people who will come and say, the Holy Ghost told me I should leave. Now, what can you do when somebody tells you that the Holy Ghost told them? Can you argue with the Holy Ghost? Again, you just pull off and say, so be it. So people know that once they mention the Holy Ghost or Jesus, your case is settled. You cannot argue with them anymore. So they use it a lot. They take this thing and say, the Holy Ghost told me I had a dream. And I saw myself under another umbrella. And it was raining. And the other umbrella was there. And I thought I was supposed to be in that umbrella. But I saw myself in another umbrella which was having a red color. And then I put two and two together. And I realized that no. God is speaking. It's an umbrella. Let me tell you what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. You see, the problem I have with the people who came and say, God told me, is that after they do what they do, the type of confusion that rises makes me to now ask myself, if is God that really say you should do it, how come there is so much confusion? Why do we have so much confusion if it is God who told you? Number three. Some people leave because they feel their time to leave has come. And they say things like, I think my season here is over. No, Pastor, I think we have come to the end of a season. They remind me of the prodigal son. The prodigal son was safe in the house of his father. Everything was okay. There is not even in the Bible one sentence that even mentioned that there was an argument between him and the father. Everything was fine. But the prodigal son reached a stage of independence. He felt, my time has come. It's time for me to spread my wings. It's time. So he was not chased. He took a decision. My season in this house is over. I need to move on. I'm picking the reading from Luke 15, verse 12 to 13. The Bible says, the younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, before you die. So his father agreed. You see, we usually can't agree. I mean, we have to. You can't fight forever. The father will agree because the father loves his son and the father does not want to fight his son. Do you believe that David rather ran away than fighting his own son Absalom? Very few are the fathers that will fight their children because they are their children. So when somebody will come and say to you, I don't think I'm supposed to be here anymore, what can you do? You have to agree. So the father agreed and divided his wealth between the sons. A few days later, the guy, for you to see that his heart had already left. Just a few days later, the slightest opportunity that came, he jumped on it. A few days later, this young son packed, not some, with the intention that maybe I can come back. Oh, he packed all his belongings, all of them. That I have no intention of coming back. It's bye-bye forever. He packed all his belongings and moved, not just to the next town. Do you understand? To a distant land. In other words, I cut all communication. I block people on WhatsApp. I cut them off from my life. I clear them from my system. Everybody is cleared. This is like a Hiroshima type of a bombardment that he bombarded, he cleared everybody. That's a Hiroshimanic move. Where you use nuclear bomb to wipe everybody and everything. Even the people that are connected to the people that you are leaving, you clear them as well. On your Facebook, you unfriend anybody associated with the people you don't want to be associated with. That's what this guy did. Distant land, like there will be no communication. I don't need you, you don't need me. Let's live our lives. I've been with you for a while, my time has come to also start shining. Allow me to be. Allow me to be. Now the Bible says, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. So you now understand why he wanted to be away. Because he didn't want anybody to reprimand him. He didn't want anybody to say, please come back this side. He didn't want anybody to tell him anything. He wanted to do what he wants to do. Most people that leave, they leave because they know, as long as I'm in here, I will not be free to do what I want to do. There will be too much policing. There will be too much accountability. And I don't want to have to account to anybody. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be free to flow the way I want to flow. And that is why they leave. Because when you look at the story, there was no problem. When they try to create a problem and they say there's no problem coming up, they just decide, look, my time is over. My time is over. That becomes the argument, my season has ended. But the funny thing is, one day, that son was going to have to go anyway. Because he was going to get married. And his life was going to start. But he was going to go the right way. Do you realize that once upon a time, God always brings those opportunities for you to go. But there's a way to do it. There's a right way to go. There's a right way. Number four, people that got offended and never got healed, they leave the church or whatever that is. Offense makes people leave. But don't tell me that that is a good excuse, because when you get offended, you can get healed. Living is not the solution for offense. It has never been. The Bible says if your brother has offended you, go and reconcile with your brother. The Bible doesn't say if your brother has offended you, leave. Go and reconcile. That is the biblical prescription for offense. Number five. People leave because they got blessed and they forgot the God who blessed them. The blessing became so overwhelming that it clouded their view and they forgot who actually blessed them. This is one major reason why people leave churches. Sometimes all it takes is just a little job. Just a little job with a better pay. Sometimes just a wedding, a simple wedding, it's an ordinary wedding. Simple beloved. Simple lobola, just lobola, not even wedding, just something. Just, actually, the in-law just came to see your parents. Just that alone, the horns go this high. A simple blessing has turned your heart. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10, Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life. Who gave him the things of this life? The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above. Who gave him the good things of this? It is the same very God he's deserting. Demas. Deuteronomy 8 verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God. Why? It is he who gives you the power to get the wealth. Anything that has happened came from the Lord. And you should never forget who gave it to you. The Bible says you should remember. Many people easily forget. All it takes is for you to work for 2 months. Then you forget. All it takes is for the lady to kiss you twice. And she doesn't even know how to kiss. You are leaving the church because of an unprofessional kiss. Unprofessional kiss. A very village kiss has made you leave the church. I pity your condition. I pity your situation. The Bible says you shall remember. I see you remembering the Lord your God. No matter how blessed you become, never forget your blesser. Never forget your blesser, my friend. Don't join the list of those that have turned their back on the one that blessed them. Number six. People that live are people that fell in sin. And they are feeling guilty. Usually when somebody leaves and there is no reason why, and like you can't put your finger on why they left, they fell in sin. A secret sin. They don't want anybody to know about it. They don't want to get caught. And they certainly don't want to repent. Sin has caused many to leave God. But I think I remember very well how God was looking for Adam and Eve in the garden and he couldn't find them. He called everywhere, they were nowhere to be found. And the Bible says that they were hiding themselves behind trees. The people that used to run to God and kiss him, all of a sudden they are hiding from him. What happened? Sin happened. Sin has a way of causing you to start running away from the one who gave his life for you. Sin. Sin. And they can start coming up with stories. Oh, the church is too long. Oh, this and this is happening. Oh, I don't like the music. Oh, the pastor is always wearing many clothes. He's eating the church money. All those are fabrication. The real problem that he doesn't want to tell you or she doesn't want to admit, she is in sin. Usually after they leave, then you see. Yeah. pregnancy. This and this. You just start, it happens just like that. You just see them smoking again and you are, whoa, what is going on? Oh, that is what was going on. But they were covering it up. Sin. Are you still there? I'm giving you the reason, the actual reasons that make people leave. And none of this should make you leave, my brother, because the Bible says, if we have sinned and if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to wash us from all unrighteousness. My brother, the secret is not to run away. You can never run away and be safe when you are in sin. Rather, come to God. You see, the same Adam and Eve, they ran away from God, yet God had the solution for the problem. When they came, they had their small solution. They used leaves to cover themselves. And God looked at it and said, no, you don't understand what has happened to you. This leaf will dry by tonight. Tomorrow you'll be naked again. You'll spend the rest of your life covering up. Covering up. Covering up. Every day you have to cover up. Every week you have to cover up. God gave them a permanent solution. He killed an animal. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. The blood of Jesus is the only way for you to experience true salvation. The blood of Jesus. And when you are running from the church, when you are running from that church, you are actually condemning yourself. You are running away from the only thing that can save you. You are running away. Therefore, James says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Don't go away. That's not the solution. The solution is not to start bad-mouthing the church or to start finding excuses to run away from the church. Face your sin. The Bible says, He says, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Your loyalty is divided. Once sin enters your heart, your loyalty becomes divided. You are no more fully loyal to God. That is James 4:8, New Living Translation. The seventh reason why people leave, we are almost at the end. Some people leave because they feel the preaching is too hard and too direct. Just like the one of this morning, it's too hard and it's too direct. Tell your neighbor, Pastor, it seems like Pastor knows you are in church today. It seems like Pastor has spotted you. The preaching is too hard and it is too direct. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will look for teachers on the internet. They will look for teachers on Facebook. They will look for teachers for themselves. The Bible says that I will give you pastors. I will give you. But this one, they go and look for themselves. The one God gave them is too hard and too direct. They don't like it. They want somebody that softens them. Somebody that speaks some jellyish preaching. Some sugarish preaching. Some guava and guava preaching. Some nice looking preaching. But we are preaching Jesus Christ and Jesus crucified. We are preaching the gospel. We are preaching the gospel. I'm sorry that I'm a hard preacher. My Jesus was a hard preacher. The book of John chapter 6 verse 60 says, many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining. So he said to them, does this offend you? So I would like to ask you that question that my Lord asked his disciples that were complaining about his preaching. Does this teaching offend you? Are you offended right now?
8.
The people that leave feel there is too much pressure in the church. There's too much pressure. Pressure on the left. Pressure on the right. Pressure in front. Pressure behind. And pressure on top of the head as well, pressing them down. There's pressure to go and win souls. And they just came to church to enjoy. Now they have to work. I mean, they left work, now they are coming for more work. What type of thing is this? This is too much pressure. Pressure to follow up on souls. Pressure to be calling people. Meanwhile, you don't even have enough ATM for yourself. Now these people are bringing another pressure on you that say you must be calling people you don't even know. Pressure. Pressure to go and visit. They feel the pressure from the teachings to pay their tithe. They've been in other churches, people don't even mention such things. Now they've entered this church every day, tight. I mean, it's too much pressure. Malachi 3:8-10. Hello! Many believers heard that name. For you to believe it, they have never called any of their children Malachi. Go and check. Have you ever found a believer giving the name of Malachi to his child? They flow with John, Matthew, even Jonah. Jonah got rebelled against God. They give their children the name of Jonah. But Malachi, no. You will be reminding me of tithe every day in the house. Tithe. I don't need it in my life. The pressure. Pressure that sometimes we need your car to transport people. Now you are getting angry that your tires are finishing. Pressure that you put petrol in your car, a whole petrol, the church is finishing your petrol. Pressure. I feel your heat. Branto presheke capella capella domada. Pressure. We are using your stuff. We are using your chairs. We are using your phones. We are using your cameras. You are feeling abused. The church is using you. I feel your pressure. Your only solution. Areke samai. I have to go. Rasamai. This is too much. I feel your pressure, brother. But you will never tell that truth. You will give us another silly excuse. But the real reason why you left, you don't want the pressure to pay your tithe. You don't want the pressure to go out and win souls. Yet, if people were not under pressure, you will not be born again today. If people were not under pressure, you were never going to know Jesus Christ. But when we ask you to go and do the same, selfishness and the love of the world has entered the hearts, and people feel pressure. You know, the things that are making you feel pressure, they're making the Father feel pleasure. So I want to ask you the question, don't you want to make your Father pleasurable? The things that give you pleasure gives heaven pressure. You need to decide today. You need to decide. Number 9. They say that they have found a new, an exciting, and more powerful church than the one they are in currently. I get it, the one they have been is very boring now. They know the pastor, he wear the same suit, they know the names of everybody in the church. They feel like something new. And they've just watched something that is kind of fresh and nice. And that becomes the reason why they are leaving. They have found something new. But unknown to them, there's a scripture that addresses it. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. That which has been is what will be. And that which is done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun. So what you are forgetting, brother, is that that new church where you are going now, I give you 6 months. The same story will repeat itself. Before you realize, it will become boring. Before you realize, you will start feeling that, no, man, I know all the songs in this church now. And you will become like the devil, moving around up and down, up and down. You don't have a house anymore. I don't stay in my house because my house is new every day. As a matter of fact, my bedroom has been the same for years. But that does not stop me from sleeping there. I enjoy my sleep there every night. Living because you feel it is boring is the biggest mistake you can make. You can never build anything on something new every day. You have to learn to sit and work with what you have and make the most of it. Last reason why people leave. They leave because they think by leaving, they can destroy the church. By leaving, they will destroy the pastor. There are many people who are actually deceived into thinking they are so great now that the time they leave this church, the church will be paralyzed. And many live with that intention. As I'm leaving, you will see. There's a man who was working with our brother and our father in the Lord, Brother Renard Bonke of Blessed Memories. His name was Richard something. Richard one day told the staff, I'm going to leave Bonke. Because Richard used to be the one to pray for the sick. Bonke did not have the gift of miracles. I've shared this story before. But Richard had the gift of miracles. So Richard felt Bonke is using him. Because all the flyers have the name of Bonke, not Richard. So Richard said, this man, he's using me because I'm an African. I'm going to leave him. And when I leave him, people will know what he really is. A talker without miracles. So he told the staff of Bonke, I'm going to leave Bonke. And when I leave, watch and see how this thing is going to come crumbling down. So he left, really believing that as he's going, that ministry was going to descend. But today, if I say the name of that brother, Richard, you don't even know who he is. Bonke has schools in his name. He is known throughout the world. He rather became greater. And miracles started happening in his ministry by the departure. You know, most people are always surprised how come this church continues growing after they leave. They are shocked. In fact, it's a surprise. It's a big surprise. You shouldn't be surprised because you see, Jesus said, I will build my church. When you come to destroy the church of Jesus, you are coming against Jesus directly. And I don't know anybody that has ever defeated Jesus. You will not be the first one. Let me give you a verse to encourage you. Hebrews 11 verse 4 says, God having provided some better things, something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You see, when they leave the church, they think as they are leaving, without them, the church will fall. But what they don't know is that God arranged it in such a way that the church without you must struggle. But equally, you without this church will struggle. It is the two of us together that brings perfection. That's why when you leave, when you are not supposed to leave, you will struggle. Because God is on the side of the church, not your side. Are you so far blessed? I'm not saying people shouldn't leave. There are reasons why people have to leave. Sometimes you have to relocate because of work. Situations of life can happen. I've given you 10 wrong reasons from leaving. But when it happens that you have to leave, there's a right way to leave. It is found in the book of Exodus chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says, so Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please, let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive. The purpose is right. He's going for a mission. Number two, the attitude is right. Now, I want you to see what Jethro said. The Bible says, and Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. When you live the right way, you will go in peace. Jethro was like the spiritual father of Moses. But now Moses had to go and do some work. And he needed Jethro to release him. Because it was the will of God, Jethro could not withhold Moses. He said to him, go in peace. When you go in peace, you can always come back. People that don't go with peace never come back. Even when they know they should come back, they have caused so much havoc. They don't even feel the freedom to come back. But when you go in peace, if things don't work well, you can always come back. They usually say when you close the door, don't throw away the key. Because you might need that door again. You might need it. When you go in peace, you go with a blessing. When you go in peace, you will be fruitful where you are going. And that is what we see with Moses. Moses started doing so well. He did so well that his father-in-law came to visit him. Some people leave, you can't even go and visit them again. You can't attend their wedding. You can't come for anything, and they can't come for anything. When you go in peace, things get better, not worse. So I always tell people, if you have left the church, and I don't see you winning more souls than when you were in the church, you didn't leave the church, you got fired. When people leave a work for another work, they usually earn more money. It's better. But when people are fired, they don't have another job, they sit at home. Things go very wrong. Because they were not intending to lose their job. So when you leave a church and you don't become a better person than the person you were when you were there, I want to submit to you, you didn't leave. Satan fired you. When you live in peace, you remain supportive to those you have left. You can continue supporting them because you left in peace. When you live in peace, when you see that those you have left are doing well, you don't get angry. You don't become a wizard wishing for them to fail. Do you know that some people, they leave the church and they wish for the church to fail because they have left? Wickedness. Wickedness. How can you wish for the church of Jesus Christ to fail just because you left? So anything they see about that church that is going well, they get so agitated, they start having ulcers. They have palpitation. All they have to do is just to mute, because they are not enjoying it. They wanted to see the whole thing crumbling down, but it's not happening. When you have that attitude, you didn't live well. Your heart is wrong. When you live in peace, you never say anything negative about those you left. Never. Moses never said anything negative about his father-in-law. That's why his father-in-law could come and give him an advice that changed his ministry. You know, some sons, when you see the prodigal son left in a very bad way. And when those doors started closing up on him, he found himself looking for the food of pigs to eat. Things went so bad. Nothing he expected. I wonder what he said when he was leaving. Do you know when people leave, they raise a lot of questions. People wonder, why did he leave? They create so much confusion. That's why leaving is such a wicked thing. It's a devilish thing. When a person leaves, even if people don't want to, they will ask themselves a question. Why did he leave? I wonder what happened. Speculations. When people leave, they raise a lot of questions. When people's attitude changes, it raises a lot of questions. And Satan uses that to destroy churches and to destroy families. When people leave, they never leave alone. Very rarely do people leave alone. When they leave with people. That's why I can tell you, always and almost every time a person leaves, Satan is behind it. Because it benefits his kingdom more than the kingdom of God. I want to give you four things as I close that will make you to stay where God placed you. I want you to stay where you are. There's a blessing where you are. It is an appointed place and you know it. But how do I stay there? Number one, see yourself as a son in the house. John 8 verse 35 says, a slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. The King James Version says, a son abides forever. When you become a son in the house, you never see yourself leaving. I don't ever see Jesus thinking of leaving God and leaving heaven. You can't even imagine that possibility. He's the only begotten son. That's why this son that left, we needed to give him another name, the prodigal son. He was not the beloved son. He was the prodigal son. And other sons that left, we call them dangerous sons. A son is a part of the family, not for a week, not for a year, not for 3 years. He's a part of the family forever. May you become a son, not a slave. Yes. You see, the Bible says a slave. So this person feels he's being abused. A slave feels that they are abusing me. I am not a part of this. I don't belong here. A slave feels they must pay him for what he's doing. And when you don't pay him, he gets offended. We must pay them for cleaning the church. We must pay them for taking videos. We must pay them for anything they are doing. We must pay them for playing the keyboard. They are slaves. They are not sons. I don't expect my son to ask me to pay him for washing the dishes. And I don't expect my son to leave the house because I didn't pay him for washing the dishes. He was never a son. Then he was never a son. A son is a part of the family forever. My prayer for you, my brother, my sister, is that you will become a daughter, not a slave. A daughter, a son in the house. Receive the grace of sonship. Receive the grace of sonship. Number two, start seeing yourself as part of the building. 1 Peter 2 verse 5 says, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. I mean, if you start seeing yourself as a stone in the house, I'm sure that will make you feel that I cannot just remove myself from that wall. Because if I remove myself, I'm weakening the wall. Look at that verse. You are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. You are living stones. Maybe you are the stone that is holding the kitchen. Maybe you are the stone that is holding the living room or the front entrance. When you see yourself as a part of the building, you can never see yourself living. I don't see any brick in this building having any plans to leave this building. They are part of it. Number three, when you start appreciating the word you are receiving every day. John 6, 66, 67 to 68, and Jesus turned to the 12 and said, "Are you also going to leave?" Simon Peter replied, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life." 70 disciples had already left Jesus. He turned to the 12 and said, "Are you also going to go?" Peter said, "Where can I go? I don't know anybody that preaches like this." I'm forgetting the songs and the hymns. Let me focus on the word I'm hearing. This word has built me. This word is helping me. I need to forget about the usher that is making me angry. I need to forget about the praise and worship leader that is screaming too high. Let me focus on the words that are giving me eternal life. He said, "I don't know any other preacher like this. There might be greater preachers, but for me and to me, this is working."
Yes, sir.
This is working. Learn to appreciate. When you start appreciating the words that are coming to you, it will help you from not just living, because you will know you can't find them easily. Or it doesn't take long for you to realize the words you are hearing, you can't find them easily everywhere. Yeah, because God packaged them for you, because that is the place where he placed you, and that is where he's able to feed you. And that's the vessel he's using to bless you. Once you disconnect yourself from that, you are in trouble. You are in big trouble. Lastly, you will not easily leave, and you will never leave when you start remembering the good that was done to you. You know, the main reason why people leave is because they easily forget all the good that was done to them. The Bible says God is not unrighteous to forget. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not his benefits." And many things that are happening to you are the benefits of God through the people he has given you. But people easily forget who they were, how they were, when they were helped. They forget it. The moment their life changes a little bit, they forget. May you never forget.
Amen.
I'm giving you the last verse, Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 18. "Isn't it enough for you to keep the best of the pasture for yourselves? Must you also trample down the rest? Isn't it enough for you to drink clear water for yourselves? Must you also muddy the rest with your feet?" What is God saying? You drank the water and you were pleased. After you drank the water, you turn around and you made mud so that nobody else can come and drink it. You ate the grass and you enjoy the grass. Now that you are full, you are urinating on the grass so that nobody else must come and eat it. It will surprise you. The people that live were blessed before by the church. They were blessed with everything before. They used to enjoy it. It used to feed them and quench their thirst. Now that they have received enough, they turn and they start poisoning the waters so that the other people that also need those waters cannot come and drink them. Just by you saying three things, another person will never come and drink those waters. Yet you drank those waters and you were okay. Remember the good that was done to you. Remember how these messages blessed you. And never allow yourself to become a snake that spit poison and messes up things. If you remember these four things I have taught you this morning, you will never leave except for the higher assignment from God. May God bless us.
Amen.
May we please rise on our feet, please. And I want you to pray this morning. We have shared so many things. I want to just ask God to give you the grace to remain faithful. Don't think I'm preaching to the person next to you. It will be your biggest mistake. I'm preaching to you. To you. As nice as you look today, we don't know how you're going to look tomorrow. As loyal and as faithful as you will appear today, you don't know what plan Satan has against you. Please pray for grace. Ask God to help you this morning to stay faithful 20 years from now, still being where you are, doing greater things for God. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to pray somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody, open your mouth and pray right now. Brade geba dovala de mandala vede badama. Shede pede vele damadu gade bala de mandaba. Brenchete prezize vradaba baba. Lord Jesus, we ask for your grace this morning. We, your people, need your help. We need to be taught. And thank you for sending your word this morning to teach us. Father, we receive the word. We receive the correction. We receive the instructions. We receive the rebuke. We accept it. That is what we needed, Father. Now we pray for your grace. Oh, Father, the grace of sonship. Somebody pray for the grace of sonship. Move from being a slave to becoming a son. A son. A beloved son. A true son. Oh, Paul called Timothy, my true son. My true son. God told Jesus, my beloved son. But we have the story of dangerous sons like Absalom. And we have the story of prodigal sons like that boy. An idiot. Father, deliver me from foolishness. Father, deliver me from this spirit of idioticness. Oh, yeah, by Andabara, Serebele, Baragarabala, Madabarabara. Oh Jesus, help us this morning. Help your church today. Deliver us, Lord, from pride. Pride that is causing us to hide our sins, to not repent, to keep playing games. We don't understand that we are playing with fire. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, you are receiving the grace of sonship. Oh, you are receiving the grace that came on the 12 disciples after the resurrection of the Lord. They stayed faithful. Some of them died very terrible death, but they never changed because the Holy Ghost had come upon them. Receive the Holy Spirit. The glorious presence of God that will make you faithful. Yeah. That will cause your heart to change. That will cause you to stay firm. I see somebody this morning, you've been standing on sand. You are standing on sand. You are not stable. You are standing on shifting shadows and slippery sand. May my God deport you from that sand to the rock. May your feet be planted on the rock. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Quickly this morning, you are listening to me, you are watching me, and you know deep down in your heart that these things Pastor is talking about, hey, that is you. You are like that prodigal son that left before the time. And things have gone really bad. Very, very bad. In fact, you don't know what is going on. You don't know what's going on. Right now, I want to give you a chance to get things right with God. Why don't you come back this morning? Just like the prodigal son did. The Bible says he came back to his senses. And he turned around and decided to go back to his father. I see you turning around this morning. And going back to your heavenly Father. And the good thing is he's not waiting for you with a shambok. He's waiting with open arms, ready to welcome you back in the fellowship, ready to have you clean up of those sins, ready to give you a brand new robe, white like snow. Put sandals on your feet. Put a ring of authority in your hand and reestablish you and reinstate you where you used to be. That is what awaits you this morning. I want to ask you, do you want to give your life to Jesus? Do you want to be born again? Do you want to start a journey of true Christianity? Not fake Christianity, true Christianity. True Christianity. If that is you, you are saying, Pastor, I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of pretending. I want the real God, the living God. At the count of three, you can raise your right hand and I will pray with you. 1, 2, 3, raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for raising that hand. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. You can take your hands down. Now, if you are born again and you want to recommit your life to Jesus, you can also raise your right hand at the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Raise it up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You can take your hands down. I want all of us to pray together. Mean every word from the bottom of your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Forgive me my sins. Wash me with your blood. I believe you died for me. On the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I'm saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm back home. I'm here to stay. In the name of Jesus, I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me, for receiving me, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.